Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Remain standing. Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 9. Find a 14th verse. One day, the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the bridegroom? Of course not. But someday, the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Verse 16, "Besides, who would put a patch of old clothing on new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old wineskins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." Father, thank you for that anointed time of worshiping you, returning the tithe, giving an offering, and for the worship as we sang, glorified you and prayed for people, so many healed, so many touched, we could go home. We've had church already, but now we're going to get into the word. Heaven and earth will pass away, and the word will endure forever. So come and have your way. Release your power. May we never be the same. Would you lay hands on your own heart and ask God to talk to you tonight? God, speak to us. We're not here for a lecture. We've had enough of that. We need impartation. We need revelation. We need a touch from heaven to change us to be more like you on this now, the third day of the fast. We give you praise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I do believe we have notes, and gentlemen, if you would pass those out. On the screen before you, it will be a QR code, and the QR code, how many of you know how to use those QR codes? You just take your phone, take a picture of it. QR code for the end of the year survey. I would like to hear from you. I want to hear from you. So we'll do this on Sunday, too, if you're not ready. I'd like to hear how you... And it's anonymous. So you can be like, whatever. You can say whatever. But you remember what your mama used to tell you? And if she didn't, I'll tell you now. You don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. That's not 100% true. I mean, we enjoy loving... if something's not right, we want to know. So, you know, if you feel like, yeah... the coffee line can move faster. I agree. I totally 100% agree. They're doing the best they can. Maybe you want to be a part of the coffee ministry. Amen. And maybe we need to get another machine. My point is, sometimes you'll see things that we won't see, and I would love to know what that is. Also on there is a question about anything you want preached. There are any topics that you'd like to hear that maybe I haven't shared. I went through the surveys, and there was quite a few of them, but I realized, my gosh, there could be a whole lot more. So we're pushing the survey just a little bit harder. And I loved some of the responses to the surveys. Is there anything you want to hear Pastor Daniel preach on? And I read it more than once. I trust Pastor Daniel's spirit-led leadership to bring us whatever the Lord has. I'm like, yeah! I don't know, I got encouraged for a second. It's good to be encouraged. But also, I realized maybe there's things that you want to hear. There's another that said, I want to hear about homosexuality. Can you preach on homosexuality? The answer is yes, I can, and we will. There's a lot of other topics that maybe you haven't heard, things you're interested in, and we will look at those as the Lord leads us and bring those forward over this next year. So go ahead. snap that, take the survey. It doesn't track you. It doesn't put your name on it or anything like that, so you can say whatever you want. But, you know, you're a Christian, and if you're not, we'll hope to remedy that by the end of today's service. So take the survey after the service. I'm going to give you 7 sacred reasons for fasting, and I've done this before here and gone through it. It's important to fast and pray. It's important to get the word on every area of your life. These signs follow the preaching of the word. And I'll tell you that whatever is preached, whatever you hear, let me say it that way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you hear teaching on healing, what kind of faith does it release? Faith for healing. When you hear teaching on giving and sacrifice, what does it release? Faith for sacrifice, faith for giving. When you hear healing on deliverance, when you hear teaching, on any topic, and by the way, if I go off topic, it's because I'm not eating much. So if my brain skips around, you just pray in tongues. And if I ever say anything that's not biblical, that's not what I meant. My daughter texted me, and she said, "Dad, do you know this guy? Oh my God, he has the same testimony you do, and it is amazing. Todd White. Todd White preaching is a friend of Pastor Vince's and a friend of the ministry's. He was on Kauai for a season in the early days of his ministry, and he is at Springfield, Missouri, at the James River Church there tonight, I guess. And my daughter went with her brand new husband, and they got touched by God. So hallelujah for that. 7 sacred reasons. Here's the first one. First reason for praying and fasting, if you need them. And you do. You need to have good reasons for why you do stuff. All right, so 1, power. And we do have notes. Everybody say power. Power. Power in your life. Power in ministry. Power. It takes God to live for God, said one preacher. You need the power. It takes the power of God to live for God. You can fast for a greater release of power, and you'll see this throughout the scriptures. Matthew 17 and verse 19 comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples have been trying to cast out this devil, but they couldn't. There's a boy who's tormented basically since he was a child. And the father gives the whole story. It's a beautiful picture of a loving father caring for his son, but it's also a picture of a powerless generation, and it's also a picture of powerless religion. Religion has no power to set you free. Can I get an amen? And it's a picture that the disciples didn't have it all together. It's also a picture of how the demonic wants to come upon a generation. The demonic wants to come upon your children from the time they're little. My son's out there preaching the same message to the youth. Don't talk your kid down from fasting just because he goes to school. There's some things he can do to fast and pray. Don't talk your kids. There's a text in Amos. I spoke to your children, wanted to make them prophets, but you talked them out of it. Don't talk your kid down from getting on fire for God. In fact, encourage it, model it. Have fasting in your home, because it'll release power. We can fast for a greater release of God's power in our lives. So many biblical examples, as I said, Matthew 17, Matthew 11 for the note takers out there, verse 11, Luke 1 and 15. I'm convinced that the power of John the Baptist's ministry, I mean, he didn't really have church growth tools at work. I mean, that's kind of a sucker punch to pastors and church growth people, which I'm one of. I'm into church growth. I'm into seeing people saved. I'm into seeing the church grow. I'm into planting churches. I'm into it. But John the Baptist blows up all of that. Why is that? I mean, he wore a loincloth. He didn't wear the latest stuff from Abercrombie. You know what I'm saying? He had a loincloth on. He wasn't wearing a shacket. You know what I mean?
the latest holes in the jeans just below the knee. Or the nice white, ever white shoes. You know what I'm saying? It was none of that. I'm not against those things. But it was none of that that caused a release of God's power to cause the Pharisees and the religious people to come and for him to baptize them in a baptism of repentance. And location. No, he didn't have a good location. No, his location was lame. Yeah, go to the desert. And he was weird. John, what's that in your teeth? Oh, yeah, it's a locust leg. You're weird. He's weird. He was unusual. But you know something? You might not have the latest threads. You might not be all the likers on Instagram and Facebook and all of that. But if you have the power of God, it says that you're close with God. And there is something about that. John the Baptist is called the greatest born among women. That's what Jesus defined him as. And he wore a loincloth, ate locusts, wild honey. I'd be down for that part. And had a location far away from the masses. Well, why did people travel to go see him? Because he had power. He had power. And so much so that Herod didn't want to kill him because he was scared of killing him. John the Baptist, the power of John the Baptist, that separation, the sacrifice, he lived a lifestyle of prayer and fasting, releases prayer and fasting, releases power. Well, I don't know about that. That's because you've probably never fasted. That's why I want to encourage you. Why don't you fast? Because then you'll know. It was so hard. Actually, you know what's hard is living without power. It's an interesting thing when you're motivated to really bring change. You're motivated to see a shift when you're desperate. Desperate people do desperate things. Watching my daughter, I've told the story so many times that she was born, she almost died. She was on a procedure table. They tried to intubate her and they couldn't do it. And while they tried for 20 minutes, I would have stopped them in the first 5 minutes, but the Lord spoke to me and said, wait. And specifically, give them 10 more minutes. So I watched the procedure of my daughter, who's not even a few hours old, arcing off a procedural table with a nurse on every limb and a doctor trying to get a tube into their throat, while her heart had flatlined. She had water in her lungs. She had a lot of different problems. She basically flatlined a couple times. I'm watching through a crack in the blinds. You know, you're not supposed to be able to see. I was losing my mind. And there was a lot of people there. And I remember my mother comes up to me and says, son, you're making a scene. Can I tell you how much I cared about that? Because me, at that, I was full of the Holy Ghost, was in ministry, was on fire, winning souls. So what that looked like me with my face pressed against the glass. Bind you! I mean, like, it was ugly. Spit all over the window. Are you guys okay? My mother's like, you're making a scene. I said, I'm making a scene. We have a problem. And I said, go ahead and take a look. And I pointed at the glass and I backed off of my mother, dignified. Oh God! And she just walked off doing the intercessory chop. Power! Prayer and fasting releases power. And when you get in touch with how little power you have, it might move you to prayer and fasting to release God's power. Are you done being impotent yet? Are you done being powerless yet? Are you done having a lukewarm, half-hearted Christianity that can't lay hands on anything and has a lifestyle of compromise? And if you are, you'll put your food up, push yourself away from the table, put away your fork, and press in. Can I get an amen? I'm preaching differently. Why is that? No more bonbons. close. My spirit's like, let's go. I feel the fire on me right now. What's that from? 3 days of fasting. Just three. What'll happen at 40? Number two. I should say that throughout history, before we move to number two, I think I can say this categorically. Every revivalist in history fasted and prayed. Anybody that's ever been used by God to expand the kingdom with signs, wonders, miracles, and had a notable difference, name one. All of them fasted and prayed. All the, come on, the shouting Methodists, the Methodists, the whole Methodist movement. It's prayer and fasting, holiness. Prayer and fasting. Think about John G. Lake and Maria Woodsworth Edder, and the list of names goes on. David Bernard tried that one. Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, Amy Simple McPherson, Mahesh Shavada, how many of you have heard of him? Spell his last name, C-H-A-V-D-A. He wrote a book on fasting that really impacted me. I believe he's from India originally, if I got that right. Tells a story about how he was working with these children that were very handicapped. And nothing he did worked. And the Lord told him to fast and pray. And he saw this. He saw this transformation take place because he prayed and fasted. Most people don't pray and fast because they're not educated biblically to understand the importance of it. And the text that we actually read is, if you look at the original language, it's a command. So when the bridegroom goes, they shall fast, they will fast, they'll be fasting. In other words, it's a command. It's part of the pillars of your walk with Jesus. All right, two. For revelation, it takes supernatural help to understand the deeper things of God. It's revelation. You need revelation. And you can see throughout Scripture, Daniel 9 and verse 3, I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer with fasting. Amazing. We talked about Daniel chapter 10, verses 2 through 3 on Sunday. I'd encourage you to go listen to that. It takes supernatural help to understand the deep things of God's heart. Ephesians 1 and 17, listen to this. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the glorious riches, the riches of his glorious inheritance of his holy people, and his incomparably great power. His what? Incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. I'm telling you, there's revelation that God will put upon you for your marriage, for your children, for your finances. He'll put revelation on you, but not if you're willing to step away from the things of time and tradition. You've got to step away. You've got to position yourself, and folding down your humanity, or humbling yourself, or humiliating yourself, or mourning, or fasting, it's all the same in Scripture, does something. It brings your heart before the burning bush of God's presence, and when that happens, he speaks. And when he speaks, things change. How many of you need revelation? Then ask him for it. He's not a man that he should lie. You, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. If they ask for bread, will you give them a stone? Will you give them a scorpion? No. How much more your heavenly Father will give the Ranakalada Shanda Holy Ghost? Wow! To them that ask. He just prayed in tongues, and I didn't hear an interpretation. Here's the interpretation. Lift your hands to heaven. My gosh. Oh. Holy Spirit, give us revelation even tonight.
I got a revelation for you. You're really wound tight. You need freedom and help. But it's biblical, Pastor. Okay, I'll just tap it for a second. There's prayer corporately, and there's corporate prayer, and then there's tongues. Tongues can be interpreted, which is prophecy. When there's two different kinds of tongues. So there's tongues that's interpreted, which is prophecy. Then there's tongues, which are prayer language. Your prayer language doesn't need to be interpreted. So if I say to everybody here, pray in your heavenly language, that's perfectly in order. Everybody's praying in their heavenly language for those that have been filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues. If you have not, I would encourage you to contend for that. Ask God for it. And you too will pray in mysteries, ontologically, which is the study of spiritual, spatial things. You are not God's spirit and he is not yours. Ontologically, we're separate, but economically, he comes and he fills you. We're the temple. We're his temple. And so he prays through us. He partners with us to pray unless you don't. And I do believe that tongues, when it's very prominent, not necessarily unlike what I just did, needs to be interpreted. But that was my prayer language. And as I've trained and taught our staff and pastors, you can pray in tongues. Go ahead. Tilt the mic down. Don't make it as prominent because you're praying in your prayer language and you just want to make sure things are in order. But my God, we've had so many services in America where there's so much order. There's no power. There's no fire. There's no intervention. Nobody ever gets delivered. Nobody ever gets saved. How is it that 120 people in the upper room turned a known world upside down? We're the fruit of it all these thousands of years later. And 120 people reached millions. And how is it now that a church of thousands in some places can't reach 120? It's because there's no power. And there's no revelation, and people throw off restraint. Where there's no widespread revelation, people throw off restraint. We're still on number two. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9, however it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Let's all say it together. These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Revealed is revelation, and God will give you revelation when you fast and pray. It is a biblical thing to ask for. As we approach the end of the age, God will increase revelation, and I believe he'll send ministering spirits, angels. I don't talk a lot about angels. We don't worship angels. They're here. I said they're here now. How do you know that? We know that theologically, whether you can see them, whether you see a cloud, whether you see something shine, it doesn't matter what you see. You may see something, you may not. They are here theologically. Just because you don't feel God's presence doesn't mean he's not here. Can I get an amen? There is visitation that comes to release revelation. I've had it happen. I'm confident it'll happen again. How does that happen? I don't seek a visitation from an angel. I seek the one who sends them. And when I do that, when we do that, he releases messengers. We've been visited in the middle of the night, been visited in the morning, been surprised in my camper. I've been overwhelmed at different times. It was an angel that gave you the song. I listened to it. It's an angel just came to visit you. It's happened before, Minister Heidi. It'll happen again. To give revelation. Number three. Fulfillment. Everybody say fulfillment. Then this one, this gets me right here. This is so good. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. Go to verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the... Are you guys reading with me? I want you to go there. Underline it. If you don't have a Bible, you can write in. Just put that up in a bookshelf somewhere and go get a good one. Take notes. Get a journal.
Take notes. Write things down. Daniel chapter 9, verse 2 on your iPhone, your tablet, your leather-bound Bible, whatever you have. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scripture, from the word. I understood from the scripture. So Daniel reads. He's reading the scriptures. He's reading the scrolls, if you will. And he understands, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he reads, here's the promise. There's 70 years. And he's like, oh, whoa. Yes, we're close. Let's go. And he begins to fast and pray for the fulfillment of the promise from Jeremiah. When's the last time you took a promise from God, got in that thing like a howitzer, fasted and prayed and mowed down the opposition of unbelief and any other hindering spirit and saw fulfillment? You need to fast and pray for Eagle River. You need a building. Father, give us a building or help us to build it. Give us the design, whatever it is. I'm not sure. We need that. It's because of souls. Do you have any idea how big Brazil is? Brazil is massive. God's going to give us lots of churches in Brazil. Amen. And an orphanage. Or maybe orphanages. Fulfillment. Everybody say fulfillment. The Lord has mighty prophetic plans and promises related to this, related to the end, related to your life, related to this house, related to this region, related to our nation. Mighty end time prophetic strategies and plans that we cannot access or understand if we don't position ourselves to do it. I got one amen from the long-haired man, Pastor Tim. I don't know, if I had hair, I would probably have it like that. Scripture's full of examples. Daniel, Nehemiah, Simeon, just taught on him at the Christmas season. Lord, you spoke to me that I would see your Messiah before I passed, and he sees, so he's praying. Anna, another one, constantly in the temple, fasting and praying until the fulfillment comes to pass. Have you fasted and prayed for your miracle like that? Deliverance from crisis. Deliverance. Deliverance. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Joel 2. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Joel 2, we're in a problem that's not unlike Joel. Economic difficulties, agricultural problems, and famine. They have coming invaders coming from the north. We have all those same problems today. You know what they, you heard about the problem with the, it's really a religion, the global warming. So you've heard like there's too much methane, so they're killing cattle, and actually cattle in America is never, it's not been so low as it is now since 1962. They're slaughtering all kinds of cows and cattle. They're trying to get people to eat worms, mealworms, bugs. They're substituting bugs in chicken and different places. Hello. And guess what? I mean, I'm not shocked, but here's the thing that just started to be sowed this week. I just started hearing that humans actually, because the amount of air that they breathe and the gases that some people make more gases than others. Amount of gases that are released. So humans are a big problem. So you're gonna start euthanizing people? Yes, that's what they're going to start doing. They're going to endorse every kind of weirdness, including pedophilia. They're going to endorse every kind of strangeness, including just abominations. And they're going to call it a preference. And they're going to call it a gender. So you can identify as a rabbit. Well, they already have it. They have litter boxes in the lower 48. They have litter. Are you hearing me? You can't make this stuff up. I mean, who could even think of it but the devil? They have litter boxes for kids that identify as felines, and they wear these ears. And I see them around Wasilla. I just want to snatch them off of people's heads. Oh, it's cute, is it? It isn't. I would not let your kid get in lockstep with the feline spirit. They need to be set free if they have. And if you need help with that, you just come and see Pastor Vince. You come see any of us, we'll help you out. We need to fast and pray for our nation. That's my point. We need deliverance. We are in a crisis. So many people are asleep. Fasting and prayer for crisis, for deliverance. Avert national crisis. My goodness. Number five, protection. These are seven sacred reasons for fasting. Protection. Everybody say protection. Protection. The Lord has opened a way for me, Pastor Gil, Pastor Austin Jones, very dear friend of ours, and Pastor Gary Morton, representing the state of Alaska, to go to Israel. We are going to Israel in the middle of a war in February. Why would you do that? Because I feel like God, I don't feel like I know. God spoke to me. I have peace. However, I'll be fasting and praying for that trip. Amen. And I'd like you to pray and fast for us too. How come? Because we're not dumb. You pray and fast for protection, that God would fulfill his purpose for sending us over there for 10 days. And that purpose for going there is profound. We'll share about it when we return. Protection. Fast and pray for protection. Fast and pray for your babies. Fast and pray for your unborn babies. Fast and pray for your marriage. Fast and pray for protection. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Church history is filled with examples of people, how they would fast and pray and God would deliver them from peril and danger over and over and over and over. My gosh, we ought to just skip a meal to drive the roads in Alaska, for God's sake. Ezra chapter 8 and verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast that we might humble ourselves before God. Verse 22, for I was ashamed to request of the king escorts and soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king saying, the hand of our God is upon us and all those for good who seek him. But his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So they tell the king that. And then they start getting nervous. Oh, shoot. There's bandits on the road. We should ask for help. They're like, you just mouthed off about the goodness of God. He's like, right, right. No, that was from the Lord. That was like an unction. It's in scripture now. All right, you might get that on the way later, way home or something. And they say, no, we're going to fast and pray because God's going to do that thing that I said to the king. He's going to do it. They fast and pray. Ezra. Number six, sacred reasons for praying and fasting. Direction. I said this, I shared this on ETS, not nearly in this detail. Direction. I said to Pastor Karen and had her, asked her if she agreed, and she'll agree again. We have, it sounds arrogant, it's just true. The Bracken family, I can say this categorically with full conviction, we have never made, I'm checking my spirit as I say it again, we have never made a mistake, never made a wrong decision when we fasted and prayed. I have made lots of wrong decisions when I didn't fast and pray. I have never made a wrong decision that I know of when I fasted and prayed. Everything we've done in ministry has been soaked in prayer and fasting. Coming to Alaska was soaked in prayer. My gosh. Going to Molokai. No, forget it. Going to becoming a life group leader. And then from there, it would life group leader to doing ministry and leaving a relatively lucrative job to go become an intern. Yeah. With a huge debt load. Fasted and prayed. Jump, I'll catch you. And he did. He's been catching us ever since. Going to Molokai. Pastored on Molokai for a year and a half. Had to pray and fast for that one. That was serious. I got there praying and fasting, and the Lord said, can I have that water right there? No, he didn't say that. I'm saying that. Can I have the water? Thank you. No. We got there fasting and praying and like nothing was happening. So the Lord spoke to me and said, stop praying and fasting and start praying and eating. So we gained 50 pounds and the church doubled in size. Polynesians like to eat food, and if you don't eat food, the Polynesian, they don't trust you. So you're not trustworthy. You need to eat more food, more power. That's a Fijian saying. So we ate a lot. I'll never forget going back to Maui for one of the conferences after being on the Outer Islands, and Pastor Alan Carvalho sees me and says, oh, bro, you on moke? A moke is a very big Hawaiian. All right, and then a blala is a moke smoke. Okay, you might get that later. Direction and guidance. If you will pray and fast for direction, he will speak to you. It doesn't necessarily fit in the logic that you have. Logic and reason are the guillotine of your faith. Lots of scriptures here. Immediately after Paul's conversion on the road to Massey, he fasted 3 days, waiting to hear clear direction from the Lord. That's Acts 9:9. While in Antioch, Paul and his team fasted and prayed for prophetic direction, Acts 13:1-2. Luke 6:12-13. Jesus prayed all night to receive direction before selecting his 12 apostles, disciples. You know, I've known people who have made great mistakes in hiring. I don't even need ministry. Business, your maid, the guy that cuts your lawn, or the person that plows your driveway. You should be led by the Spirit who you hire. You should pray, you should, and I think you should fast, especially major leadership decisions for your business, managers. You're going to put a manager, it's going to manage your business. You better have a word from God. Don't you just pick somebody because they're seemingly qualified or they had a nice smile or something. You pray, you fast, you check their references, and you get a word from God. God might speak to you and say, wait. Or he would say, go, or not this one, pick that one. Jesus prayed all night. All right. Number 7, encounter. Minister Heidi, would you jump on the keys, please? No need for a whole worship team. Minister Heidi and the angels will help us all along. That's all we need. Can you bring your angel with you too? Okay, great. Yeah, you all think I'm joking. I am not. Lift your hands to heaven. An encounter with God. Can you play some encounter angel music? No pressure. Hallelujah. There's something about, my son said it to me today. He said, Dad, it's like when the wind blows, I hear him. I said, yeah, fasting. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will release power upon you. I'll be a shield about you. I'll provide. I'll make a way in the wilderness. I bring streams in the desert. I bring streams. Former and the latter rain. Make the wilderness a pool.
Let the Lord touch you right now. I didn't preach long. Service will be over shortly, but it should never end. He's put a harp in your heart. If you let him play it when you're at home, push yourself away from the things of time and tradition. Set aside some time to fast and pray. Oh, he's worth it. There's a paradigm shift, a shift. Yeah, it's not fun at first. But then something happens. Fire only falls on sacrifice. It can be a bit of a sacrifice to not eat, to restrict yourself. But he will release encounter. He will give you direction and guidance. He'll protect you from all your enemies. He'll bring deliverance from crisis. He'll bring prophetic fulfillment. Fulfillment. I had somebody say to me, why aren't my promises, why don't the promises of God come to pass for me? What's taking so long? I have no idea. Although I do know that the promises of God are the basis by which we pray, and I do know that they will be fulfilled if you'll fulfill your part of the responsibility. God will not do your part. Living holy matters. Praying matters. Fasting matters. Walking in faith, shutting your mouth. Some of you just run your mouth. Oh, this is not going to happen. You're right. Absolutely. It's not going to happen for you. It's going to happen for me, though, because I'm going to line my mouth up with the word. And I've had all kinds of emotions that want to tell me something else. Building this building was one of the greatest tests I've ever been through. And I'm so glad for it. Constantly circumstances laugh, and people laughing. The enemy will send people to laugh at you. You're doing what? That's impossible. Circumstances, you'll have storms. You'll have people that'll come against you. Dream something so big in from God. Dream something so big that unless he steps in, you'll look like a total idiot. Nantes, go ahead. Let him form that dream. Let him give you these promises and move into those with prayer and fasting and accountability too. You don't do it by yourself. You do it with a team of people that'll pray. Mary had an Elizabeth. Oh, everybody else would have laughed at her. You're what? You hussy. What? Seriously, nobody's going to believe your story. No, she didn't go tell everybody she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She went and told one Elizabeth. Oh, you need an Elizabeth. You need somebody like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need somebody that you can confide in. We do it together. I'm telling you, God longs to show up, show off, and move through your life. Will you do your part? That's the question. Faith. Faith will rise when you fast and pray and you get in the word. Something happens. I hate fasting on one hand. But then as I get into it, like now, oh, I'm thinking, I feel like I've been backslidden for like a month, two months maybe. I'm back. Come on, some of you are like asleep and numb and dull, and you have a ho-hum walk with God. You're like, what are you so excited about? I'm telling you, when he touches you, when he speaks to you, when he moves into your life through a dream, or you're visited by some ministering spirit, I'm telling you, it'll do something to you. It changes you. On July 31st, 593, or thereabouts, Ezekiel was visited by the river. He was visited.
the glory of God, a wheel within a wheel. There's a day of visitation for you. It's true. There's a day where the yoke and the burden and the bondages break off, and you move into a place of power. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death at all. I have no fear of that. I'm convinced that God is going to provide over and over and over. I'm convinced that I will walk in the blessing of God with my beautiful wife all of my life and fulfill the divine assignment that He has for me. I know it. I know that I know. I bet my life on it. He's visited me. I see it over and over and over again. I don't have a backslide in me. What are you going to backslide to? Where are you going to go to? Don't stop entertaining doubt. Stop entertaining the lies. Move into a place of visitation, prayer, and fasting.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.